6. Judges chapter 9, verse 6. In Judges chapter 9, verse 6, pick up your Bible. Somebody's not with the Bible. Okay, you want to read from the screen. Okay. I'm still waiting for you. But if you cannot open it, if you can see for the screen, better, so that we can fly. Judges chapter 9, verse 6 say, and all the men of Shechem, can we read it together? And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made who? Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. Let's read the first sentence again so that you can underline it from your sentence, from your word, from your Bible. Now, what did he say? And all the men of Shechem. So, by the special grace of God this morning, I'll be talking to us on a topic I titled, The Men of Shechem. Hallelujah. Sit down and God bless you. Yeah. The Men of Shechem. Praise God. I say praise God. I want to give thanks to Almighty God, especially for our youth president, no other person than Prophet Sidney. Why I'm giving thanks to our prophet is because through him we were able to have a platform that is called Bible Club. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. I also give thanks to the pastorate. Now, why I'm making that is because this topic was inspired to me when we were studying the book of Judges. When we are studying the book of Judges, the Lord ministered to me this topic that is called the Men of Shechem. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. And for that purpose, I'm dedicating this topic to all the bride of assembly who are in Bible Club. Do I have a witness in the house? If you are a Bible Club member and you are seated here, celebrate yourself. Yes, there is a platform in this church that is called Bible Club. There is a platform in this church that is called Bible Club. So I'm dedicating this message to them, those that are here, and those that are watching me online. Keep doing that which you love doing. And that is, I refer you to be lovers of the word of God, and the Lord will bless you. Now let's see Judges chapter 2. Please, Judges chapter 2. Let's see before we go further. Judges chapter 2. From verse 6. Judges 2, verse 6. And what did he say? And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. Please follow me as I follow the Holy Spirit. Tell somebody by your side, brother, I was going to say we should follow him as he followed the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 6. And the people serve the law all the days of who? Of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that have outlived Joshua, who have seen all the great works of the law that he did for Israel. Verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the law, did what? Die, being 110 years old. Now what happened? And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, in the what? In the Timnath-Reah, in the mount of the Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gahash. And also all that generation were together. What do you say? And also all that generation were together unto their fathers. And they were together unto their father. That means during the generation of Joshua, they were serving God. They were obedient to God. They were doing everything to their reach to ensure that they please God. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the word, the law, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel.
There is another generation that have risen. And that is the generation we are now. And this generation, the Bible, we are still reading that scripture. The Bible referred them to be generation that knew no God. Whether you agree or not, I want to tell you that this morning that our generation knew no God. Verse 10, and also all that generation, verse 10, and also all that generation gathered unto their father, and there arose another generation after him which knew not God, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Now, and the children of Israel did what? They did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their father, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to what? To anger. And what, verse 13? And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Asherah. And what happened? And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them in the hands of who? Of their spoilers. He delivered them in the hands of their spoilers. Who did what? That spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies around about, so that they could not any longer what? Defeat their enemies. It will not be our portion. Say to yourself, my generation will serve God. Now look at verse 15. And whithersoever they went, what happened? The hand of the Lord was against them for what? For evil, as the Lord has said, and as the Lord has sworn unto them. And they were greatly what? Distressed. They were greatly distressed. And I want you to understand this morning that where we read is a clear revelation or a clear, you know, or very clear that what we read is what is going on in our generation today. And listen to me, there are so many Christians who are suffering today just because of what they are doing or what they have done. Praise God. Because one thing God hates is that when he looks at you to remember what he has done for you, and instead of you to serve him, you are what? You are drawing back and concentrating in other things. Definitely, he will have no choice than to hand you over to you, or to a spoiler, and that spoiler will deal with you until you reestate your what? Your step. And that was the state of the children of Israel. The children of Israel suffer so much in the hands of the Amorites, in the hands of the Canaanites, in the hands of Jebusites. There is one I did not mention. Why I purposely leave that one, it is because that one gets with them. And that is called the Midianites. The Midianites get with the children of Israel. They get with them to a point whereby they will have no other choice than to begin to cry unto the Lord for God to come and rescue them. Praise God. So this morning on this topic, the men of Shechem, we are going to look at it in four categories. We are going to look at who is Gideon. We are going to look at who is Abimelech. We are going to look at who are the men of Shechem. And lastly, we are going to look at who is a Jehoatan. And all these things are to be linked to what is going on in the body of Christ. Now repeat after me. I said this topic is divided into four. What's the first one? We are going to look at who is Gideon. We are going to look at who? Who is Abimelech? We are going to look at who? Who are the men of Shechem? And lastly, we are going to look at who? Who is a Jehoatan? So these are the four characters we are going to look at in this study. And I want you to follow me as I follow the Holy Spirit. Now let's begin. Let's begin for the introduction. The story of Abimelech in Judges chapter 9 is a sobering warning for us today. After Gideon's death, Abimelech exalted himself, made himself king, and destroyed his own brethren. His life teaches the anger of self-exaltation, the importance of divine calling, and the strategy of ambition without God. So let's start. Who is Gideon? Who is Gideon? Now, what brought Gideon into this picture? Now, remember I said that the Midianites dealt with the children of Israel. They dealt with them to a point whereby they began to pray. They began to cry. They began to tell God, "Father, deliver us. Father, set us free from the hands of these Midianites." And at that point, where their cry reached God, God has to send a deliverer. Glory to God. I say glory to God. At that point, where their cry reached to God, God has to send what? A deliverer. And that is what is going to happen in our generation. We are not going to be in this generation that God will not send someone that will be calling his children out of error. In this generation, God is going to raise you and I, and when we begin to speak, we are speaking the heart of God to remind people that there is a need to come back to who God is, or to go back to God. So God has to look for someone to use, and the name of that person is who? It's Gideon. Praise God. I say praise God. So who is Gideon? Who is Gideon? Gideon is God's choosing in what? In weakness. The word who Gideon is in the word Gideon. Gideon is God choosing in weakness. You may not understand that concept. You may not understand what that actually means. Unless you understand that God specializes on those who look at themselves to be weak. Look at Judges chapter 5, verse 15. What did he say? "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save who? Israel. Behold, my family is what? Is poor in where? In Manasseh. And I'm what? I am the least in my father's house." So you can see, when God came to Gideon, and Gideon started giving what? Excuses. Gideon started saying, "God, you have to remember two things. One, I am the least in where? I am the least where? In my family. And not just the least, I am also what? My family is also poor." Making it understand that when God wants to use you, your background is of no use. And let me quickly say this. People that God use, they are the ones that are not qualified. You know why? Because when God comes to use you, and he sees you to be qualified, he will abandon you, because you will come up to a state to show that you are being chosen by your qualification. And that is why I said, God does not call the qualified, but he qualified the call. He does not call the qualified. So which means that your degree is of no use to God. Because by the time you have a degree and there's no decree, your degree is useless. So the most important thing is to have decree over degree. Because when your decree is okay, your degree will balance. So which means that going to Bible school, it is not a criteria, because Bible school, it is of no use to the Lord. Oh, you are not getting me right. Praise God. So Gideon was what? Gideon was God's choosing in weakness. Oh, look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I don't know what I'm right with that scripture. There's something about that scripture. 2 Corinthians, what did he say? What did he say? Let's read it together. "And he said unto me," this was Apostle Paul, asking God to what? To deliver him. What was the response of God? And he said unto me, my grace is what? Is sufficient for thee. For my what? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Which means that where the strength of God lies is your weakness. Which means that God is so pleased when he can see a weakness in you. And when he sees a weakness in you, what will he do? He will come and perfect that weakness. So if you don't have weakness, then you will become a non-entity in the house of God. If you don't have weakness, you will not be too useful. Because if you check history and people that God have used so far, you will notice that these are people who are weak in one way or the other. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 27. What did he say? But God has chosen what? The foolish things of the world. To do what? To confirm the wise. And God has what? Has also chosen the weak things of the world to confirm the things which are mighty. So, repeat after me. God does not call the qualified. But he qualifies. He qualified the call. Celebrate yourself by clapping yourself. You're a good student. Oh, we are on the first lane. Now, what is the next letter? We are looking at who Gideon is. I said Gideon. Who Gideon is in Gideon. What's the next letter? The next letter is what? Gideon was what? Was an intercessor with a burden for his people. He was an intercessor. He has a burden for his people. It is unfortunate that we live in a generation where burden has been removed. We live in a generation where people that are occupying the pulpits, where people that stand in the pulpit, they do not have burden for their people. And when you don't have burden for your people, you can do anything. My cobbler called me. He came to my place. He told me that his elder brother's wife get birth. And his pastor is to come. And what? His pastor is to come and do the naming ceremony. But do you know that this cobbler told me that his pastor said that before he will come for that word, for that dedication, he gave him list of things to get before he will come. Will you call these people to be people with a body? They don't have body in. There is something body does. There is something he does. When a man has a body for something, he can risk his life. But it's unfortunate that the body of Christ is loaded, is so much occupied with people that do not have body. I don't know whether I can talk to Teacher Samuel. He's in the house. Teacher Samuel is in the house. Teacher Samuel, you are the head of the evangelical department.
That's right.
Am I correct?
You are right.
Now, do you know that before Daddy made you the head of the evangelical department, there is something he saw in you?
Definitely.
He saw that you have a burden for that.
That's right.
But unfortunately, I don't know your state now. You might have started with a burden, but end up not having the burden. Is this serious? Oh, you didn't get me. You might have started with a burden without continuing with that burden. You know why? Now you have an office. And in that office, you sit down in the office. As you sit down in the office, if you are not careful, you will forget the burden and concentrate on the office. Oh, you are not getting me.
Nobody, no ministry.
You may sit in the office. I have been in your office. Wonderful. You may sit, even possible, you cross a leg. By the time you cross a leg, what comes to your mind? You go there. Now you are now a commander in that evangelical team. At that point, if you are not careful, you will leave what you are called to do and be doing another thing. So it is not to be an evangelical department is the issue. The issue is that body should continue.
You are right.
That burden should continue. Because if that burden do not continue, you will miss it. You will miss it. Look at what the Bible says in Chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. Romans chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. Look at what Apostle Paul said. What did he say? That I have a great word, heaviness. and continual sorrow in what? In my heart. This is Apostle Paul. He said, have a great word. Give me that scripture. He have a great, there is a heaviness in him. And there is a sorrow in his heart that is continual. Why? Verse 3. Look at what verse 3 says. For I could wish that myself were what? Were accursed from Christ for my brethren's sake. What that scripture? I don't know whether the IT can give me New Living Translation. In New Living Translation, Apostle Paul is saying that he wish if you could be eliminated, as long that will save his people. As long that will bring salvation to his people. The men of God we see today, the Christian we see today, do they have burden for soul? That was not the case for Gideon. Look at in Judges chapter 6, verse 13. Judges chapter 6, verse 13. What did he say? Look at the story. We are talking about who Gideon is. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is all this thing befalling us? And where is the word? Where is his miracle? Which our father told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of who? Of the Midianites. And what did the Lord say? And the Lord looked upon him and say, go in this thy might. Hey. In another translation, go with the body. Which means that before God came to Gideon, Gideon has a body. God cannot come to you as a Christian if you don't have body. There are people in the scripture that we saw body in them. What of this man called Moses? The Bible told us that Moses was born in a critical time. In that time where he was born, the Bible said that the Egyptian thought that the way the male are increasing, it will do what? It will come to a point whereby if they did not do something, the Israelites will eliminate the Egyptians. And Pharaoh make a declaration that every male child born should be what? Should be killed. And that was the time Moses was born. The Bible went further to tell us that Moses was saved miraculously. And who took care of Moses? It was Moses' mother. Mama, Moses' mother took care of Moses. When you are nursing Moses, what will you be telling Moses? You'll be telling Moses, see, Moses, these people that are suffering in Egypt, they are your people.
Yes.
I don't know where they get my point.
Yes.
You'll be teaching Moses.
Yes.
How do I know he taught Moses? Because he built that burden on Moses. And that was why when Moses saw an Egyptian with an Israelite fighting, what did he do?
He defended the Israelite by killing the Egyptian
buried the Egyptian.
Yeah.
Burden can intoxicate. Now, it did not stop there. Do you also know that the Bible tells us that Moses wanted to do the same thing? And that was when he knew that people are already aware. And yes, what happened?
He ran for his life.
Which means that even before Moses came to deliver the children of Israel, there was a burden in him.
Yes, yes.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hands. If I want to portray that point more, that was why the Bible said Moses was to be the next Pharaoh in Egypt. But what did he say? In Romans, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, I'm correct. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, what did he say? Now, go back to verse 23. Now, by what? 23, okay. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was healed three times. Three what? He was healed 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. But by faith, when he was come to years, what happened? He refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. He's a man with a body. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise God. Time will frame me to go further. I remember some years ago, we went to pray. I and Prophet Frank, that was when we were in the denomination. We went to a place to pray. I hope our deliverance minister is available. We went to a place to pray. When we got to that place to pray, oh, may God deliver us. May God deliver ministers. Your amen is not loud. after the prayer, you know, there is a way when you go to people without a burden, it is seen. It is always invisible. You know why? Because those people that you prayed for, I say Prophet Jude, I don't know whether you want to become a prophet. Now, when you go to a place to pray for people, do you go with a burden? If you go with a burden, you will not tell them after the prayer that you are going home four times. You didn't get me? You will tell people you pray for that you are going home four times. The first one, I'm going. The second one, I'm about to leave. Are they deaf?
Yes.
Are they deaf? They are not deaf. Why is he repeating it? He's repeating it because did not go there with a burden. He did not go there with a burden. Whether they're pocketing, they're not pocketing, it's none of his concern.
He's looking for an Aurelion.
But when you go there without a burden, you will end up telling them four times, you are going home. May the Lord deliver us. We live in a generation where people don't have burden. God have mercy. Let's go to the next letter. What's next letter? What's next letter? What's next letter? Letter what? Letter D. Letter D. Who is Gideon? Gideon was a defender of true worship. He was a defender of true worship. How do I know? The first thing he did, the Bible says he went and what? And pulled down the gods of Baal. The Bible says in Jude, he said, contend earnestly on that faith that was once handed over to you. And that is why I'm putting on this t-shirt today. To tell you that the bride of Christ, we are contender. I expected you to clap. We are celebrating 13 years anniversary. And in this 13 years anniversary, it has not been easy. We have been standing and defending the truth. And the bride of Christ is born to defend the truth. All over the world, we are saying nothing but the truth. And what we want to achieve is telling people, come back to who? Come back to Christ. That is all we want to achieve here. Telling people that the Bible is absolute. That was what Gideon did. Gideon defended the true worship because Gideon knew that what he saw in his own era, in his own time, was not what was in place in the time of Joshua. And the first thing he did, he said, no, this thing cannot continue. Anywhere we find ourselves, we are to what? To defend nothing but the true worship. What is true worship? True worship is telling people, as long as it's not in the scripture, we will not do it. It is what is in the scripture we do. True defender is not talking about you saying that is what my church say. What your church say is irrelevant. What your pastor say is irrelevant as long as not in the scripture. And Gideon was not ready to accept anything that is not in the scripture. Glory to God. Celebrate Jesus by clapping your hand. Who is Gideon? Who is Gideon? Who is Gideon? Who is Gideon? Let's go. The next one. What letter are we now? Letter E. Gideon was an inquirer of God's will. He was an inquirer of God's will. How do I know? The Bible tells us that he told God, what will be a sign that I have been sent to deliver the word, to deliver the Israel from the hands of the Midianites? He was seeking for a sign. But we live in a generation where we don't care about sign. We live in a generation where people that stands in the pulpit, you see, you may not understand this context very well if you don't take your mind to what Jesus told his disciples. He told them what? He said, wait in where? In Jerusalem until thou art endued with what? With a power from high. He wanted them to have an experience. He wanted them to have a sign so that when they go out, they will go out with boldness. But unfortunately, we live in a generation where people don't have a sign. The only sign they have is the few sign. It is the sign of miracles and wonders. But there's another sign that is called the upper room sign. And that sign is a sign that makes a sinner to become what? A saint. That sign is a sign that when it comes upon you and when you are being threatened, you will tell them, as long as we have seen this sign, we will not stop speaking that which we have had and that which we have seen. Why? Because there was a sign. And when there is no sign in the body of Christ, when men of God, when Christians do not have a true sign,
we will end up doing things that we are not supposed to do. You cannot encounter God and your life remain the same. Praise God. What is the next letter? The next letter is what? It's obedience. It's obedience. Gideon, see, this thing I'm telling you is to show you how Gideon suffered. Is to show you how Gideon suffered. Gideon was obedient to the call. You may not understand that. I remember, I don't know whether Sister Esther is around from Olodia Papa House Fellowship. I don't know whether she's around. Now, Sister Esther was to go to surgery. Please pay attention. She was to go to surgery. Now, and she called me when she was already in the hospital. I have to mobilize my people. I told them, let's go to the hospital. And when we got to the hospital, I quickly remember that daddy, we always say, don't go to surgery until you have gone through prayer. And when I interrogated the sister, we observed that she did not go for prayer. I quickly pick up my phone. I called daddy. I said, daddy, please, I'm very sorry. Glory to God. Daddy answered. I said, I'm very sorry for calling now. I'm talking about obedience. Now, daddy said, where are you people? To call the whole story short. I said, we are in the hospital. Now, what was I expecting daddy to do? What was I expecting daddy to do? Please give him a. What was I expecting daddy to do?
Huh? Daddy to pray.
I was expecting, still hold the mic. I was expecting daddy to pray. But do you know that daddy did not pray? Daddy did not pray. But daddy said to me, he said, you people should go ahead and what? And do the prayer. And you will see our God in action. That was what he said. You can sit down. Now, listen to where I'm going to. Do you know that if I am not revelated enough, I will pick up my phone and I will call Pastor Lumide. I will say, Pastor Lumide, please, I need your prayer. At that point, I call Pastor Lumide or call Prophet Joseph, I have left God. Do you hear what it is? I have left God. Or God has left me. At that point, what God was expecting me to do is to what? Is to obey. But I come to realize that men of God, that we are obeyed because we see a form of possibility. But when it seems impossible, we least you obey. Now, what brought this thing was that the Bible says something that they were to go and deliver, they were to go to where? To the land of, to go and deliver the children of Israel from the Midianites. And soldiers and warriors, they were prepared for the battle. How many of them were prepared? 32,000 were prepared for the battle. But what was the response of the Lord? The Lord said, no, this number, they are too much. Gideon, go and preach to them. Any of them that has fear in him should not go to the battle. And Gideon picked up a mic and he was preaching to them. He was talking to them. And after the sermon, how many people went back? The Bible said 22,000 went back home. Remove 22 from 32. What is remaining? Oh, talk to me. I don't have time. 10,000 were remaining. Remember, I'm talking about obedience. And the Bible tells us, and God came to Gideon. He said, Gideon, I'm not still okay because God cannot share his glory with any man. He can't. And the Lord said to Gideon, take them to water test. Our pastor, Pastor Lomide, has preached that message. Take them to the water test. And as many that laughed, he will go to the war with you. Judges chapter 7, verse 7. Judges 7, 7. Look at what happened. And the number... And the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that did what? Oh. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by 300 men that what? That laugh, will I save you? Who God is this? Out of 32, he reduced it to where? He reduced it to where? 300 men. Did Gideon obey? Oh, you are not responding. Was he obedient? He obeyed. Why did he obey? He obeyed because he believed that it's God that makes impossibility to become possible. He was not looking at his strengths. He was not looking at what he can do. He was looking and I'm believing that God can do that which he has spoken. Do you even think that God needed 300 men? He does not need them. He are just there for formality. Let it not be that we call him a God, a magician God. Praise God. Celebrate God by clapping your hands. Oh, we are looking at who Gideon is. Now, who is Gideon? Who is Gideon? The last letter. Gideon was what? Was not seeking for what? Not seeking, not self-seeking,
but God dependent. He was not seeking for his glory. I love our daddy so much. If you have watched him closely, if you come to this pulpit and stand in this pulpit and say anything that will be as if he's taking glory, he will collect mic and tell you that thing you are saying, you repeat it, or this is not how it should be. We live in a generation where men of God, where Christians are taking glory to themselves. That was not the case of Gideon. The Bible says in Judges chapter 8, verse 23. Judges chapter 8, verse 23. What did he say? And Gideon said unto them, this was after the deliverance. They saw the mighty works of God. They saw what the miracle that God did. They saw that the wonder that God did. The Bible says that after all that they saw, they said, no, this kind of thing has never existed. We have never seen this kind of thing before. And all came to Gideon. And what did they say to Gideon? And they said to Gideon, verse 22. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, what did they say? He said, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son. You know what that means? That they are saying, Gideon, continue ruling over us. Even when your tenor is over, your son will continue. Even when your son tenor is over, your son's son will continue. Which man of God will receive this kind of recommendation and will not appreciate it? Which man of God, which Christian will receive this kind of recommendation and will not say, yes, fire on? But that was not the case of Gideon. Look at what Gideon did. What did he do? In verse 20, and Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. What did he say? He said, the Lord shall rule over you. Hey. He was not seeking for self-glory. Man of God, after your miracle, what next? After that God have used you to heal that sister, to heal that brother, you pray for that sister, there was a deliverer, and the sister is coming and saying, man of God, brother Nandi, if not you, this thing couldn't have happened. And brother Nandi will say, yes, I did it. Ah! That is an error. When they come to you in that way and begin to call your name, you tell them, no, it's not me. It is the Lord, that word, that did it. He was just using me as a vessel. You can see that children of God at times they will stand in the pulpit. They will be saying, if not Papa, this thing couldn't have happened. And Papa will be sit down and be nodding his head as if he's the one that did it. I don't blame them because they did it through RNG. When a miracle happened through RNG, you take glory to yourself. When miracle happened through yourself, you take glory. But if it's the Lord who has done it, you will remove yourself in the picture because you yourself will be surprised on what has happened. Men of God all over the world, if truly God is the one using you, never you make an attempt to take glory to yourself. If he's the one using you, all glory should be given to him because he cannot share his glory with any man. Gideon said, I will not rule over you, but the Almighty God who has done this will take control of everything. Praise God. We are looking at who are the men, who are the men of Shechem. Now that we have seen who Gideon is, let's run to who Abimelech is that will run it off there. Who is Abimelech? Now, Abimelech happens to be, now you can see, let me ask somebody a question. Give this brother a mic, please. Just answer me a very simple question. Do you think from what we studied, do you think Gideon suffer?
Yes.
Are you sure Gideon suffer?
Yes.
Please, church, did Gideon suffer at all? If he suffer, clap for Gideon. Now, we want to look at who is Abimelech. Now, Abimelech happens to be a son of a concubine. Abimelech was not a legal son of Gideon. So when Gideon died, Abimelech did something very, very, very bad. That if Gideon will rise from where? From the grave. What he will do to Abimelech will not believe it.
So who is Abimelech? The who Abimelech is in the word Abimelech. Letter A, Abimelech was a man who was very ambitious for power. He was ready to do anything to occupy the position. It happens even in Bride of Assembly Church, where a brother is fighting a brother because you believe that by that position, you will go heaven. No position take anybody to heaven. No position. The Bible says a man's life does not consist of what? Of the abundance of things that he has. It doesn't. Abimelech was serious and was ready to do anything just to become a king. When a man of God is not called by God, he can do anything to become a man of God. And unfortunately, many people who are looking at to be men of God, if you go deep into this teaching of this men of Shechem, you will know they are not men of God. They are not men of God. Abimelech killed how many people? He killed 70 of his brother just because he wants to become a king. We are telling you what is going on. I'm telling you what is going on in the body of Christ. This one happened in a church very close to my place. The general overseer died. And when the general overseer died, then someone among the minister was to be the next general overseer, as they call them in the denomination. Now, do you know, this is not what I am just told to be false. It is true fact and truth. One of them went to native doctor just to collect power or just to collect something so that he will become the next general overseer. Oh, time is against us. The next letter B, who is Abimelech? Who is Abimelech? Abimelech was who? Was a betrayer of his father's legacy. His father suffered. His father went through pain to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. His father went through hell to ensure that the Midianites are delivered. I mean that the Israelites are delivered from the hands of the Midianites. But when his father died, Abimelech supposed to stand on the legacy of his father. But unfortunately, he left his father's legacy and started doing another thing. Is not what is going on in the body of Christ today? The Bible says when men slept, when the apostles died, different kinds of doctrines came up. When the apostle died, a lot of things started going on in the body of Christ. Just because they want to have their own thing. Do you know that history told us that 68 million of saints were killed just to protect the gospel? The gospel, the Bible we are carrying today, was dripping with blood. A lot of people pay with their blood. There was one certain time, Apostle Paul was told that if he go to Jerusalem, they will remove his belt and do what? And use it to tie him. What was the response of Apostle Paul? He said, I'm not only ready to be tied, I'm ready to be killed. I'm ready to be killed. Let them kill me there. And that was why he said to Timothy, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And I know there is a crown that is waiting for me. Many of them died. There is none of the disciples of Christ that died in a normal way. All of them died mysteriously. All of them died in a way you never expected it. But after their deaths, what do we see today in the pulpits? What do we see today in the body of Christ? We have forgotten what they went through. Oh, Jesus. We have forgotten what they went through. Just little things will make us to deny Christ. Just little things will make us to betray Christ. If Apostle Paul rises from the grave, he will say, this is not what I left for my people. He will say, this is not the gospel I left for my people. My people have left my gospel. Abimelech betrayed his father's legacy just because he wants to become a pastor. Just because he wants to become a teacher. Just because he wants to become a prophet. May he not be our portion. Oh, you are not saying that, amen. What is the next letter, please? As I round up. The next letter is what? Abimelech was an illegitimate authority or illegitimate person. That was why he behaved the way he behaved. A true son cannot behave like that. He can't behave like that. He was an illegitimate. He was born out of bedlock. He was born by fornication. That is what we saw in John chapter 8 verse 41. John chapter 8 verse 41. Look at what Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What did he say? He said, you do the deeds of your father. Then they say to Jesus, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Then when you go for Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would have loved me. You would have kept my legacy. But I can see that you have another father. And that father is having control over you. And let me quickly say this. Spiritual identity is not proven by association. Did you hear me? Spiritual identity is not being proven by association. It can only be proven by manifestation. It is your manifestation that tells us your source. Because everyone must go according to his spiritual father. So as you are sitting here, brother, you have two fathers. You have an earthly father, you have a heavenly father. Or you have an earthly father, you have another father. And the earthly father is of no use because it is the spiritual father that dictates for you what to do. And that's your spiritual father, if care is not taken, he will do what? He will determine everything about your lifestyle. Oh, please. What is the next one? We are looking at who Abimelech is. Who is Abimelech? What's the next letter, please? Who is Abimelech? Abimelech was a murderer. He was what? A murderer in pursuit of power. How many people did he kill? He killed 70 people just because he won power. The next letter. Letter what? Letter E. Who is Abimelech? Abimelech is empty of divine calling. When there is no divine calling, there will not be divine direction. When you are not divinely called, he was not called to be a king. He does not have a call. But yet, he wants to show everyone that he has a call. Now look at what the Bible says. The Bible says something. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9. He says something. Apostle Paul says something. He said, who has saved us and what? And called us with a holy calling. There is a holy calling. And not according to our works. The divine calling is not by killing. It is not by works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Can I prove it to you that 80% of people who stand in the pulpit, they do not have divine calling? Many of them there, what brought them into church is because the business they were doing folded up and they come into church. Let me put it for you that some of them, why they are into that? Because of tithe and offering. When God will say, from henceforth, nobody should collect tithe in my house. If God will speak to especially to Nigeria, I don't want any Nigerian pastor to collect tithe and offering. I will tell you that many pastors will resign. Why would they resign? Because they are not called. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 verse 4. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 4. What did he say? He said, I said, and no man taketh this honor unto himself. But he that is called of God, even as well as was Aaron. Galatians 1:15. What did he say? But when it pleases God, who separated me from my mother's womb? He separated me. Apostle Paul is saying, my divine call started even before I was born. And called me by his grace. Look at Acts chapter 13 verse 2.
Act 13 verse 2. Look at what the Bible says something here. Act 13 verse 2. Act 13 verse 2. What did he say? He said, as they ministered to the law and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate what? Separate me and what? And Barnabas for the world when I have called them. How many of them are called? When you are not called, you can do anything. And when you are not called, you can never know the heartbeat of God. It is only those who are called that can know the heartbeat of God. Because every blessed day, heaven is giving information to his divine call ones. He's telling them what to do, what to do, what to do. But when you are not called, you cannot be connected to divine information. Who is Abimelech? I Randall, who is Abimelech? What letter are we? Letter L. Who is Abimelech? He's a lover of control and what? And dominance. They want to dominate. He wants to dominate everything. He loves control. He loves dominance. And that is what is going on in the body of Christ. The next letter. Randomly. He was established by men and not what? And not God. He was what? He was established by men, not God. His throne was built on human support, not divine approval. The Bible says in Judges chapter 9, verse 6, where we read, the Bible says that the men of Shechem, they gathered together and what? They gathered together, all of them what? And the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. They gathered together and made him king. Who made Abimelech king? Was he God? No. His own being a king was established by men. And when you establish your throne by the doctrines of men, you will do everything possible to please men. But when your throne, when your pulpit is established by God, you will please he who has called you, not the people who are talking to. As I ran down, what's the last letter? He was a carnal leadership. He was very carnal. To do anything. That is why you see members come to church, they dress naked. They do all they want to do. Why? Because the man standing in the pulpit is blind. When the blind lead the blind, what will happen? Both will fall in the pits. They will fall in the pits. When a man of God is on fire, when a man of God understands the heartbeats of God, every little thing that is contrary to the scripture, he calls his attention. He knows. Who is Abimelech? Abimelech is what? Is a hopeless end. Let me talk to minister. Minister, please. See, David was crying. Why was David crying? David was crying because he felt that the wicked are prospering. I don't know whether you have read that. He felt that the wicked were prospering. The wicked were doing exploit. So he was angry. And the Lord came to him and said to David, don't be what? Don't be angry. Why? Because their judgment have been what? Have been concluded. Minister, when you are trekking, give glory to God. When there's no money in your pocket, give glory to God. Because at the appointed time, although it will tarry, but it will certainly speak. The Bible says, wait for it. He said, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard. He said, that which the Lord have prepared for them that love him. Don't envy Abimelech. Don't say Abimelech is now a king. His end, he has what you call hopeless end. He will not end well. It will end well. Time will frame it to continue. When next we meet, I'll be telling you who are the men of Shechem and who is a Jotham. I believe with this few points of mine, let me follow protocol. I've been able to convince you and not to confuse you that the generation we are is a deadly generation. Bow your head. Begin to tell God, Lord, make me Gideon of my time. Make me Gideon of my time. I want to be the Gideon of my time. I want to be the Gideon of my time. Make me the Gideon of my time. Tell him, Lord, I want to die as a soldier in my post. I want to stand and defend the truth, no matter whatever it will cost me.
of glory, he's worthy of honor, he's worthy of power and breath. No other name, no other name like the name of Jesus. Jesus.